Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is joined tonight by technical editor Kira Pace and teacher Lori Fisher. It's gotta be Dana Rodriguez, your host. Good evening, Dana.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend and enjoyed St. Patrick's Day yesterday. You're not too hungover. Welcome to our show, which, after all, is nothing without you because we are an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are encouraging your participation in every way possible, short of going out and knocking on your door. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number. 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. That wasn't me coughing. That wasn't. No.
It's a studio audience.
Studio audience. Yeah. So we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So all we ask you to do is call in and join in. So 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER 1. That is the numeral 1. Kira didn't say that this week. She said it before.
I was looking over just to make sure you're good.
All right.
It might go without saying.
No.
Yeah. Oh,
no. I guess I always feel better after I say it.
Yeah, well.
Mindsovermatter 1, the numeral 1, and that's at gmail.com. So mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world. Simply going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast of this wonderful show, that should be available reasonably soon after our program is over tonight. Also at kalw.org and iTunes probably too. So all that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And I advise you all who are interested in calling in to call in soon. Sometimes we do get a little crowded toward the end of the show, but if you call in soon, we will put you on, I guarantee it. So, as I said, we start with the round of introductions, and here's the first. Kira Pace, now with tamper-resistant packaging. I really don't think you have to. I read this, and I thought, you know, she doesn't have to worry about me. I'm not going to try to open you up. I can't vouch for Lori. I'm a gay man. I'm going to be reaching over there.
Oh, but I feel very weird. The spotlight's on me now. I got an answer to this.
I'm just saying.
Well, there are other ways.
She gave me the note. Yeah. Like she was worried.
Like a warning to me.
I was more worried about my mind than anything
okay.
else.
Was that the total intro?
It was. Yeah. That was it.
Well, you're
luckily
implying that she wrote her own intro, which, of course,
she always
is
keeps
not
her
true
coat on, I yeah notice. So, apparently.
Good Lord. Well, let's just go ahead and move along to yes Lori Fisher, who is proud to jump on the bracket-busting bandwagon and root for the University of Maryland of Baltimore County, whose Retrievers somehow beat the Virginia Cavaliers and, win or lose, are led by a college president with the coolest name in the country, Freeman A. Hobrowski III. Did I get that right?
You did.
Oh,
as
sweet
far as I know. This
sweet
guy's amazing. I just looked him up thinking he might be interesting, and he's an amazing college president. And I don't know what happened to the team tonight. They were doing all right when I left, but I've never heard of the University of Maryland in Baltimore County.
There have been a lot of upsets so far.
There have. This was the biggest one in history. Mm-hmm. It was. And in honor of St. Patrick's Day, I now ask our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, this question. What's Irish and stands out in the rain?
Patio furniture.
There you go.
There you go. And
boys, we're setting you up for those.
We will begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
All right. I kind of wish I had music questions for you now, but
I don't. Pull that coat tire, will you, please?
The tamper-resistant?
There you go.
Oh, nice.
All right. Uh-oh. Yeah.
We haven't had a handout in a while.
This always works like so well on the radio when people hand out things.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot here, everybody. Get out your pencils.
All right.
Well, I figure you're going to answer a lot of them right away. But we've done first lines of novels, famous first lines. I'm wondering how much you know about famous last lines.
Right.
I've put them in a chronological order. I will read through them once, and then I'll give you guys each two or three. I'm sure you can pick them off. Chronologically, let us cultivate our garden. The first.
Are these novels and plays or
they
poems?
They are novels.
All novels, okay.
Mm-hmm. He was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness and distance. Third one is, it is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known. Next is, yes, she thought, laying down her brush in extreme fatigue, I have had my vision. The next one, I don't hate it. Next one, a way, a lone, a last, a loved, a long, the. And number seven, I'm just going to do two more. He heard the ring of steel against steel. I'm sorry. He heard the ring of steel against steel as a far door clanged shut. And let's do this one. Everything is supposed to be very quiet after a massacre, and it always is, except for the birds. And what do the birds say? All there is to say about a massacre, things like poodoo-weet.
So let's do it this way, Laurie. You take one, and I'll take one, and then we can go back and forth.
All right.
If we know two.
I know three or four.
Okay.
You want to go first?
No, you go first.
All right. I'm pretty sure, and what do the birds say? All there is to say about a massacre, things like poteet-weet. Is that Slaughterhouse-Five?
It is.
All right.
Want to get Slaughterhouse-Five.
Give me a bell for that.
And that is chronologically the last 1969.
As much as I want to do Ronald Coleman, I'll go with number two. And he was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness and distance. That's The Great Gatsby.
Nope.
Oh, it's not The Great Gatsby.
It's not.
Yeah. Oh. That's Born Against the Waves and Recedes into the Past.
That's right.
Number three. So this is a pretty early. This was somewhere in the 19th century.
All right. Then I will go with It is a far, far better thing that I do than I've ever done. It is far, far better rest that I go to than I've ever known. That's Sidney Carton in Tale of Two Cities.
Yes, that is correct.
You didn't do your Ronald Coleman.
No,
people are waiting for that. Do we get one more each or not?
Yeah, please do.
I think I'm going to go with, I think my favorite line here, away, alone, alas, a love, along the, I think that's Finnegan's Wake.
It is Finnegan's Wake.
What year?
That's 1939.
Okay.
All right, I'll stop.
Right.
Soon borne away by the waves. I know that. Do you know that one, Marie?
I think so. I'm less sure. I know it's not The Great Gatsby, if that helps.
All right. Well, I figured that out, too.
Yeah.
I
think I do, but I'm going to leave it out for somebody else. Do you want one more?
Well, let us cultivate our garden. Is that a relatively recent novel, or am I wrong?
It's the oldest.
She
put them in order.
Oh, she put them in order?
In chronological order.
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry.
So that's before the Ronald Coleman Tale of Two Cities.
All right. It almost sounded like Being There for a minute.
It does.
It really does.
Yeah.
Chancy Gardner.
And the second line does sound like Gatsby, but it's not.
Yeah. All right. Then I'll leave it. Why don't you repeat the ones that haven't been answered, and then we'll go.
Chronologically, the oldest is Let Us Cultivate Our Garden, followed by He Was Soon Borne Away by the Waves and Lost in Darkness and Distance. Yes, she thought, laying down her brush in extreme fatigue, I have had my vision. Next one is I don't hate it. Next one, he heard the ring of steel against steel as a far door clanged shut. And I think that was it.
Do you know that one about the door clanging shut?
Sure.
I was asking Glory. I was thinking Darkness at Noon for a minute.
I don't think so. I thought it was the Kafka. Is it Kafka?
Could be right.
You're talking about the trial?
The trial. But it's not.
It's not.
I can tell by the look. It's not.
All right. Okay. All right. And Laurie, you go ahead.
I have a good follow-up. This is a novel question as well. And it's kind of a novel question, but nothing to do with yours. So they did a website I don't read much, Reddit, did an interesting poll. It had tens of thousands of responses. They asked people living in a variety of countries what novel they would pick that best represents their country. And these aren't kooky choices. It's not like what Reddit sometimes does, no offense to Reddit. So I'm going to give you five countries. Tell me what the listeners and viewers and web people said was the novel that best represents Canada, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, and the United States of America. So this is one that the people voted for as best most representative of their country. Canada, United Kingdom, Ireland, France, and USA. And although I may not agree, they're all credible choices.
Real quick, is each novel for each country written by a citizen of that country?
Yes.
Okay.
How old, generally speaking, are the novels? Are they all over the place?
I would say they're all classic more than modern. So in that way, they're not all over the place. And none of them are from the 21st century, which makes them. So they're all before. It's a mix of 19th and 20th century.
Canada is going to be the hardest one because
I have a guess for Canada. It's probably way, way wrong, but they did make a TV show of it. Is it Anne of Green Gables?
That's correct.
Oh, very good.
Nicely done. Beautiful.
Good. Okay.
1908. Do you know the author?
Is it Lucy Maud Montgomery?
It is.
All right.
Oh, she's good. All right.
That's it. I'm out for the night. Talking out.
Go home. So we're looking for United Kingdom, Ireland, France, and USA? You could all take reasonable guesses on those. One
France.
One more. One for Dana.
There's an awful lot to choose from as far as France and the UK goes.
And the USA.
And the USA, too. Is France a 19th century novel?
Yes.
Is it something like Les Miserables?
It's not Les Miserables. I won't tell you whether it's like it or not. That would be too subjective.
Is it a novel that's easily available in English?
Yes.
Is it Zola? Something by Zola? Germinal or something?
Well, you're fishing too much, as Jerry used to say.
What about that big fella and his Madelines?
The big fella. Proust?
Thank you. Sorry, I lost his name for a second.
Remembrance of Things Past?
It is not. Okay. But I like your description. The big fella with the Madelines. The bakery guy. Yeah.
Huh.
Not him.
Okay.
And but a very reasonable guess.
The UK, is it a Dickens novel?
It is.
That makes sense.
So why don't you each take a guess at a Dickens novel, and then we'll see. One of you will get it.
Well, Tale of Two Cities takes place partially in France.
Well, remember it.
I'll go with Great Expectations.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Very nice. Give yourself a bell. So we're just looking now. We'll leave these out for the audience. For Ireland, France, and the United States, a novel that the people who voted said most typifies or best typifies their nation.
It wouldn't be Moby Dick for the USA.
It would not.
I didn't think so. Okay.
The Scarlet Letter.
It would not. Yeah. People haven't read it recently.
Let me ask you this one further question. Yeah. Is the USA a 20th century novel?
Yes.
I'm guessing it's probably going to be Mark Twain, right?
Not 20th century.
No, wasn't he like right at the turn?
He was, but everything we would associate with him is 19th.
All right.
I think he died when Halley's Comet came in 1908 or something like that. 1910, yeah.
I think it's 1910.
Anyway.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Roger in San Francisco.
Hi, Roger.
On the French, would that be Madame Bovary?
Oh, good guess, but not correct.
Not correct. Okay, all right. I have four horses here, famous horses.
Of the apocalypse, those?
Not those.
Okay, all right.
These are famous horses from literature, and one is a musical horse. And I want you to tell me who were the owners or riders of these famous horses. First, Bayard.
How do you spell it?
B-A-Y-A-R-D, like the tapestry.
Bayard.
Do
you want to go through the whole list, or can I ask
you? Yeah, let me go through the list.
All right, go ahead.
Bayard. The next, Grana. G G-R-A-N-E, Grana. The next, Pegasus. And the last, Barbary.
Well, yeah, Pegasus was tamed by Perseus.
No.
No? Okay.
Good guess, but no, way off.
Right. Way off.
Is Bayard from a novel of the late Middle Ages?
Yes.
The Song of Roland?
Yes.
Nice.
All right.
And who was his equally famous writer? You got the place, but who was the writer? Who wrote Bayard?
Isn't it enough? I got the Song of Roland.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't read that.
He was one of the cousins of Roland.
I know, but I'm afraid I can't think of the name. I can't, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
All right. And Grana?
I have no idea.
The clue on this would be if Joshua Cosman were here, he could name it.
Oh.
So I guess that's an operatic horse?
Yes, an operatic
horse. Is it War Horse?
A War Horse.
It is?
Yes. And he will be bestriding the stage this June. There's a hint.
Go ahead.
I was about to say Ring Cycle, yeah.
Yes, and who is the rider of that famous horse?
Siegfried.
No.
Roy.
No.
Okay. Brunhilde.
Yes.
Really?
Right.
Nice.
Right. Now, as to Pegasus, who tamed Pegasus and rode him up to the heavens?
It wasn't... Oh, to the heavens. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't one of the Herculean tasks.
No.
And... I don't know. Am I just... Yeah.
So... Well, you had the right person that...
No, she did. She said
no,
Perseus.
No, I said Perseus, and you said I was
wrong.
Way off.
Way off.
I wasn't just wrong. I was so wrong.
Okay. Then...
He tamed him and rode him, but he fell off.
Oh.
So this was a mortal.
Yes.
Did Daedalus do that?
No.
Okay.
And it wasn't Icarus?
No.
It wasn't Hercules.
No,
right?
It wasn't Theseus. He was down in the thingy.
Mm. No, we don't know him, friend.
Okay, and then the last one, Barbary. You can leave them out. Somebody will get them.
Yeah, okay.
Last one is Barbary.
Barbary. And this is from a novel?
This is from... No, it's from a play, actually.
A play. Barbary. All right, spell Barbary, would you please?
B-A-R?
How about, this is a wild guess, how about Equus?
No.
Okay.
All right. We'll leave it out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Let's see here. Let me give you a couple of questions. Of course, Stephen Hawking died last week. And that immediately led me into doing some Simpsons questions.
Of course.
Because he was on The Simpsons four
was.
Times.
Yeah.
Or provided the voice four times. And I will spread them out, but I will start with this. Who was the first guest star to appear as themselves on The Simpsons?
Ooh. And I guess it wasn't Stephen Hawking.
Was not Stephen Hawking.
What year of the run
the
was
first
it?
Year.
First year.
Oh.
So if I get any of these, it'll be a miracle because I...
Michael Jackson appeared as himself, but not as himself.
No, it has it to be early. As... Absolutely has to be as themselves.
Well, he was a crazy person who thought he was Michael Jackson, voiced by Michael Jackson.
No. But no, but then, that wasn't...
Okay,
that
no.
still
okay.
wasn't
wow.
it.
It was pretty early. I don't think it was first
It's a
season.
Very well-known musical person. Who was the first
and
person...
Not Michael Jackson.
Not Michael Jackson. Who was the first person on The Simpsons to appear as themselves in the show?
So, I'll confess to not ever having seen an episode.
What?
I know.
What?
That's a great show.
I'm not saying it's not a great show. So I'll just guess Paul McCartney.
No, he has been on.
I've seen his little face there. Okay.
He's right. The reason Lisa's a vegetarian throughout the rest of the series.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All
that
right.
was the deal.
Second question. Of all the best-selling novels in English that have sold over 100 million copies.
100 million?
100 million copies, and there's a list of about 10 of them. Which one is the most filmed What are the most movie versions of?
All have the same title?
Yes, same title, same story, non-sequels, just this, the basic story.
And how many movies are there?
At least a dozen.
Really?
So what was the first part of that question?
Yes. Of all the best-selling novels in English that have sold over 100 million copies, which one has been the most filmed, the most movie versions?
And the novel was written in English?
Written in English, yes. In English.
Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Not over 100 million copies, no.
Okay.
But maybe 12 movies. Wow. 12? A dozen movies.
Right.
And it's not a series, so it's not like Tarzan or something like that.
Same basic story.
Wow. When was the most recent of the movie adaptations?
Not that long ago.
Really?
Probably within the last 7, 8, 9 years.
And how many have you personally seen?
Oh, maybe
all of them.
Half.
Okay.
Some don't exist anymore.
So this is a fabulously successful book.
Yes.
And has done well as a movie. Have the movies kind of like, are they Academy Award caliber serious movies?
I would say no.
Okay.
What about Frankenstein?
That's a pretty good guess, but that's not in the over 100 million range. So, just once more, of all the best-selling novels in English that have sold over 100 million copies, which is the one that has been most filmed?
Is Kira's going in the Dracula, Frankenstein, Gothic monster area helpful or not?
Not monsters, no.
Okay.
And
he didn't say no to Gothic.
And, no.
Yeah.
He ducked.
Not Gothic.
Okay. Not Gothic. Goth.
Not Goth.
All right.
And first question. Who was the first person to appear as themselves as a guest star on The Simpsons? It's in the first season. It's a well-known musical personality. All right.
All right.
And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
So in the memory of bashing Stephen Hawking, which was a great physicist, I almost feel like crying for his bashing. what was his most well-known work on? What was his most work on what?
Brief Science History of Time, right? And so he worked on time.
Yeah, that's one of his books. But what he actually worked on a specific item.
The General Theory of Relativity?
No, that was Einstein mostly.
The Unified Theory of Everything?
That's also another book or theory, but no. Black holes.
Black holes.
Right. Stephen Hawking not only showed the black holes exist, through experimental, but it also shows that they were not very black, that they actually emit so much energy in the process that they're not quite completely black. In fact, they're responsible for many of the gamma ray bursts. The guy was great. I mean, he was given only 6 months to live, 70 years, or well, something like 60
years. He lived a very long life, considering his
condition. He lived a very long life. Apparently, we miss him. He was a great man, great physicist. I mean, he's right after Einstein and the rest of them. So I feel really bad about him. So everybody Google search black holes and Stephen Hawking, and you will see he played great contribution to the whole field of physics, which is my field. Okay, second question very quickly. You know, I have called you many times, including in the last several years, about bottled water. I always told you it's fraud. Most of it is bottled water. Many of it is harmful. So last week it came out from the CDC that almost 93-94% of bottled water contain this item.
Plastic.
Yes. Mm. Not just plastic. Shredded plastic. This is like barbs. This is like, you know, little knives that go through your body.
Ooh.
Please, everybody, stop buying bottled water. Not only that, to get a bottle Perrier from France, he's spending about 90% of the price in flight from France to, you know, San Francisco, and that is awful lot of CO2 to produce. Okay, very quick and last question. Really appreciate your show. It is always a good show. So you always like question about elements. This element was named from ancient Egyptian word for it comes from the sky.
Comes from the sky. Translated?
Yes. Well,
you're
pretty much
you're an element person.
No, I got the last couple.
An element. Yeah.
I don't want to take
you know, this was they start making swords from it, and they won pretty much all of the battles against that.
Do you want to leave it out and let people guess?
Well, I will just tell you, because most people don't know. It is iron.
Oh.
Ferrous, iron. Because there were no way to mine iron in ancient Egypt. So all of the elements, the iron that they got was actually came from, so meteorites. Thank you, guys. Great show.
Thanks,
Thank
Ed.
You.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
And yes,
Ringo Starr.
No, he was on.
I know,
but not in the first. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Not the first one.
He's
okay.
Musical. All right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. No, you're not there. Okay, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Oh, no, still nobody. All right.
I'll take a guess at one of Kira's questions.
All right, go ahead.
He was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness and distance. Is that Moby Dick?
Oh, no. Oh. No.
It's before
Moby Dick was lost.
It's before Tale of Two Cities. Well, there's a lot of water going on in that book.
And next call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Go ahead, please.
It's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm going to try for these novels. I probably won't get any, but I'm going to try.
Right.
Ireland, Portrait of the Artist.
Good guess, but not correct.
France, The Red and the Black?
Nope.
Oh,
another
good
guess.
Guess.
Really good guess.
Yeah. I love that thing. And USA, basically East of Eden.
Also, no. 3 for 3, Tavis, but none of those are correct.
Okay.
I like them all.
Thanks. Me too. let's see. The last line, he was that guy swimming against the whatever?
Yes.
Is that Captain's Courageous?
No.
Let us cultivate the garden, Candide.
It sure is.
Oh,
nice.
Good job.
Nice.
Well, I got one bell.
There you go.
What
Thank
year?
Thanks,
That's
1759.
Right.
Now that he got that, I have my France guess.
For me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What is it?
Candide.
It's not.
Okay.
All right. We established that it was a 19th century novel, didn't we?
No.
For France?
Oh, the France? We did establish it's a 19th century novel. Yes.
And somebody already guessed Madame Bovary, correct?
Someone did.
Yes.
And
and Proust, the big fellow, the baker guy. It's not him.
Proust. And
then you asked a bunch of vague questions, like, could it be someone like, and I didn't answer. I ducked them.
Has this been made?
Oh, someone like. So maybe a Victor Hugo.
Really? The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
It's not the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Is it a Victor Hugo?
It's not.
Okay. Sorry.
No, that's those are you're in the right ilk.
Sorry, you were hedging around Dana's guess, so I was trying to figure
out why.
That's
the story of the rabbits living in back of the old church. Yeah. The Hunchback of Notre Dame. That's a Muppet show joke.
It's a great joke.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Victor Hugo. And I'm sorry, did I ask you if they'd made a film version of this novel?
Oh, the French one?
Yes.
They have.
In English?
Yes. And also a Classics Illustrated, which was the first time
Classics
I read it.
Classics Illustrated?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was the only comic book I ever had, was a Classics Illustrated comic book.
Yeah. Well,
During the Reign of Terror.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was the 10-page version of A Tale of Two Cities.
Oh, excellent.
Leaving out all the bad parts. Okay. What could this be? All right. And just to remind you, you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, recently unretired, sort of retired.
Unemeriti.
Professor Emeritus, unemeriti, Professor Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Kira, I think it is your turn.
Okay. Trying to figure out what to go with. Okay.
The show's half over.
You really?
Sorry.
That's what happens when you don't come to rehearsal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have more literary questions, oddly enough. Right. These are literary foods. Yeah. So I've got three of them.
Are they
for you.
Are there Madeleines and the big guy from France?
No, okay. Nothing about Madeleines. Okay. So in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Edmund Pevensey is addicted to what confection, whose name in formal Arabic translates to comfort of the throat? In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Edmund Pevensey is addicted to what confection, whose name in formal Arabic translates to comfort of the throat?
I never read those books.
No?
I did read it. Don't remember.
No.
I read it to my kids.
Mm-mm. All right.
All right.
And, I'll just do this other one, and I think you'll be able to get it pretty easily. What Ernest Hemingway memoir became returned to the bestseller lists in France in the wake of the 2015 terrorist attacks?
A Movable this isn't Feast?
That's exactly right. Paris,
I was going to say, is that a food question? It turned out it was.
Oh, nice. It turns out.
Was there a third one?
The third one was Lembas or whey bread are thin cakes of bread-like material that can stay fresh for months. They're baked by elves who are found where?
Is this a Keebler question?
No, it does sound like that.
They live in an old tree?
Yeah.
Is it a Hobbit question?
It is a Hobbit question.
Okay. So it's one of those. It's so, Lord of the... Oh, where,
where
what's
do
the
they
question?
Live?
I never read basically. Those.
They live in the village.
Yeah. No. I'll still
Shire.
Give it to you. It's in Middle Earth.
Okay.
So,
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Mike from Fairfax.
Hi, Mike. Thank you.
I'd like to try to answer the Simpsons question if it hasn't been answered, and then also ask you guys a question.
Okay.
For the Simpsons, was it Bloody Gums Murphy?
Bloody Gums... No, it was... I'm not asking for the character name. That's actually not right either. Because this person was... This was the first person on the show, celebrity, to play themselves on the show.
Okay. I don't know it then. Here's a question for you.
All right.
The city and county of San Francisco owns its own small stand of trees outside of Yosemite. It owns its own small forest. For what purpose does the city own its own trees?
Do they cut them down for this purpose?
Yes, they do harvest them periodically.
Is periodically a clue?
No, they're harvested when needed.
So do they make something like the gavel the mayor uses or the town, the insignia for the city?
They are used to make something that is used by city workers.
City workers?
Hmm. And is it more...
This item is not used by many cities. Anymore.
Is it more ceremonial or utilitarian?
Okay.
Oh, you got it?
David Latulip, our board of operator, whispered in my ear that these are for the cable cars. Are they cable car brakes?
Negative. Negative, but they are highly utilitarian, but very traditional and very heavy. Other cities have gone on and to use lighter variants.
Like ladders, maybe?
Yes.
Ladders for what?
Like for fire, like probably, or
wooden ladders for fires, really?
I don't know.
Correct. The city of San Francisco, the fire department still uses wooden ladders, which are extremely heavy, but highly durable and unique to San Francisco in that they won't electrocute the firefighters.
What kind of wood are they?
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Kind of wood are they? What kind of wood is it?
Red one? I can't speak types of wood. I believe that the rungs are one type of wood, and the ladders are different components of the ladders are made from different types of wood.
That's interesting. Cool. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
And we're a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet, Kira.
Okay, I've got a few last lines yet. So in chronological order, beginning with, he was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness and distance, followed by, yes, she thought, laying down her brush in extreme fatigue, I have had my vision, followed by, I don't hate it, followed by he was the ring of steel against steel, or I'm sorry, he heard the ring of steel against steel as a far door clanged shut. And I think that was it.
That last one would be probably in the 40s, given your timeline. The ring of steel.
Yes, 1940, as a matter of fact.
I don't know.
1940.
And then also, I did have a literary food question. Right. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Edmund Pevensey is addicted to what confection whose name, in formal Arabic, translates to comfort of the throat?
Is The Steel Against Steel, is that an American novel?
Yes.
1940. It's not of Mice and Men. That's a couple years before.
It's a qualified American novel, I think.
Qualified American novel.
We should get these.
All right. Go ahead, Lori.
Okay, mine is in the poll that they did on Reddit to ask people what novel best represents the country that they live in. We got Anne of Green Gables for Canada and Great Expectations. I'm looking for Ireland, France, and the United States of America.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah, I've only asked the one question.
On a more serious note, who was the first guest star to appear as themselves on The Simpsons? The first guest star to appear as themselves. It's a very well-known musical personality. And
what year did The Simpsons start?
1988, I want to say. It was like December
88. I think it's a little tiny...
How about Dolly Parton?
Anyway, yeah, it's late 80s.
How about Dolly Parton?
No.
Okay.
It's a man.
Okay.
I'll give you that part.
All right.
And of all the best-selling novels in English that have sold over 100 million copies, and it's a list of about 10, roughly, which one has been the most filmed, made into the most movie versions, had the most movie versions made about it.
Want to give us a hint yet on that one, or have you already done it?
It's going to be hard to give you a hint on it.
The Simpsons one, was it Wolfman Jack?
It was not Wolfman Jack. And?
He's not musical enough.
Well, you said personality. He's not saying artist or musician.
Is it my turn or is it your
turn? It's my turn.
All right, go ahead.
This is a musical one.
You sounded very definitive when you said that.
I like this one. So this is about, I asked a question before, and I'm following up here, on the Grammy Hall of Fame, where they take individual records and induct them into the Hall of Fame if they think they're good enough. So it's sort of a two-part question. One is, there's only one song that begins with the letter Z and one song that begins with the letter Q.
You're talking about the titles begin,
yeah, the titles.
Not the first word. Okay.
Correct. And these are both singles. And then, excuse me, there are five songs that begin with the word ain't. I'd like to know which of the five songs that begin with ain't, all well known. And then I want to know the Z song and the Q song. Give you one
ain't,
or two each.
Ain't That a Shame?
Yes. Recorded by?
I don't know. It's enough I got
recorded
Ain't That a
by.
Shame.
Oh, no.
So, okay. Right. 1955 it was recorded.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the first ain't, and we're looking for four more ain'ts and a Z and a Q.
Well, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, probably.
That is possibly right. By?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. Very nice. Okay, so let's leave the other three ain'ts out there.
All right.
And give me a guess on Q or Z if you have them.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi. Well, the only answer I was sure about was Candide, and somebody got that.
Well,
so everything else is
it's kind of, enough that you knew.
Everything else is kind of iffy. On the 100 million copies filmed novel, would it be something like Alice in Wonderland? Or?
It would be something exactly like Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, oh nice.
It is
nice.
Alice in Wonderland.
Nice.
Very good.
Good work, Andrew.
On the USA representative novel, I mean, I guess an obvious guess would be The Great Gatsby.
That's a great guess, but it's not correct.
Oh, okay. And on the French one, would they pick something silly like The Count of Monte Cristo?
They did pick something silly like The Count of Monte Cristo. Yeah. That's what they picked.
That's
very
a pretty good,
good
novel, actually.
Yeah,
it's sort
1844,
of fun.
Alexander Dumas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question.
All right.
Kind of leftover from the Oscars. I'm looking for a Best Supporting Actor, and I'm going to give you a bunch of hints. He went on to have a long career, mostly in television, and he was about a dozen years after he won the Best Supporting Oscar, he got a couple of Emmy nominations for being the principal on the Mr. Novak TV series.
Dean Jagger.
Well, okay.
That's right, right? 12 That's O'Clock right. High.
Yeah.
12
yeah.
O'Clock High.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah, so that was 1950 Oscar, 1949.
Played Major Stovall on 12 O'Clock High. Yeah.
What was his name on Mr. Novak? That I don't remember.
That I don't remember.
I remember him now. Stern but kindly.
We got it. Yeah.
He left after the first year because he thought it was, he didn't like TV. He thought it was kind of beneath the role was not.
And then
good
he
enough.
Went on to just do TV after TV.
Yeah, right.
TV.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Gotta
yeah.
make a living.
So they replaced him. The
prince. Yeah,
they
replaced
they have
him
a new
with
principal.
Another well-known yeah. character actor who kind of, oh, I can't remember, of course.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye.
Bye. Bye. All right. Now it is my turn. I have all these list questions, but I don't know. I don't think we have time to go into so I can save them. It's fine. Should I do this?
Sure.
Well, yes. Without well, even knowing.
Can we tell
yes.
you after
like
you ask it?
Does anybody here watch Lifetime movies?
I used to when they were all about amnesia.
Okay.
Is that true?
So,
yeah. That's a subspecialty?
It really was. It was like
so,
every third.
So there's a certain setup that has to be for this.
I don't, just so you know.
All right. Yeah. The Lifetime channel is really...
I know what it
it's
is.
It's just a bunch of crap. Yeah. But,
well,
but,
except for those amnesia movies. Those are something.
They make the most... They have some of the best movie titles I've ever heard of in
oh,
my life.
Oh, great.
And they're always about things happening to a teenager or... You know, marriage ending, or you know, it's
so
like romance
awkward.
Novels for yeah. TV.
Right? They can't all have really great names, like Not Without My Daughter.
Exactly. I will give you the example of probably the greatest Lifetime movie title of all time, which is
Mother
May
I
Sleep
with
Danger with Tori Spelling.
So good.
So,
and you've seen it.
Anyway,
I read the book.
I realize this is. This is a pretty small genre out there for our listeners, but I'll ask this question. What are the 8 most common descriptive words in Lifetime movie titles?
Bless your soul. This is wonderful.
This is, I've never seen
so
you
I'm
quite
not looking,
this excited.
This is not,
I'm getting scared.
This is not the or and or, you know. It's so, for instance, in Mother May I Sleep with Danger, danger would be the operative word.
Mm-hmm.
So
not
what,
mother, huh? She
probably not.
It. Okay.
But... although there are plenty of that. So what are the 8 most common descriptive words in Lifetime movie titles? And believe me, there are many that have each of these words in them. Many. Since they put out these movies.
Did you find a database?
5 a week.
Did you
basically.
Find a database with these?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely, I did.
Was Danger one of your 8?
Danger is not one, okay.
But it's something
but
like
a
that.
Variation on that.
But,
would be in it.
Okay. Well, I mean, daughter is in a lot of them. Does,
not
but that
daughter.
Doesn't count as a descriptive
there's no,
word?
There is a family member's, or there is would be a
Well, there's
family.
Husband is in a lot
husband.
Of them.
Yeah. Husband is number 8.
Okay.
Like,
how many?
The husband I stole, my, you know, my husband and the babysitter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how about babysitter?
Yeah, but no.
Okay.
So, again, what are the 8 most descriptive words in Lifetime movie titles? Husband is number 8, by the way.
Okay.
All right.
How about death?
No.
Okay.
No.
How about fear? I haven't seen any. I'm going.
A couple of them may be in there for an ironic reason, mm-hmm. just to so you understand.
So how about your amnesia
that.
Movies? How about amnesia?
Not amnesia. I don't think amnesia.
Well, Vengeance was in my favorite.
Amnesia
of them.
Is the plot, but not necessarily
yeah.
the title.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay.
All right. And then I will give you a more.
Same
a question that may appeal to a wider range of people.
Kira is floating right
maybe
now.
Maybe not. Yeah. But Kira obviously likes
she hasn't
this.
Answered any of them.
I'm glad you
so
like
happy.
This.
I did. I just
I'm glad you like
oh,
this,
you got
Kira.
Husband. That's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
This is like asking an All My Children question or something like that. I used to watch All My Children when I was in college. But so, all right. So what was the first film biography of a Nobel Prize winner with the Nobel Prize winner's name in the title?
How about Madame Curie?
No.
Before that?
It's before that. It's a sound film. So what is the first film biography of a Nobel Prize winner with the prize winner's name and the title of the film.
Is it Louis Pasteur?
He never won the Nobel Prize. That's before.
You sure?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
did the film star Edward G. Robinson?
It might have.
Is it the guy who invented the cure for syphilis? I forget his name.
Maybe you got to give me the title.
Well, I'll let Kara do that.
What?
Isn't that enough? Somebody's magic bullet.
Yes. What's the name of the cure?
Yeah. It's German, right? Ehrlich?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Ooh.
Dr. Ehrlich's magic bullet.
I need a nap.
Yeah, that's
right.
Good. Okay.
Right.
So he's the... that's a good... okay.
Okay, so we're left with what are the most common descriptive words in Lifetime movie titles?
Fear.
So far we just have husband.
Fear?
Not fear. That's, right. that's a reasonable guess,
close,
but no.
And you said there are no more family member names. Because I'm very surprised that daughter's not among them.
No. But there is a age that appears in a lot of them, which is seduced at 17, yeah. pregnant at 17, married at 17.
So it's 17.
There's a lot of stuff that happens at 17 in life.
So 17 on the list?
No.
Oh.
No.
How about spit? Is that one of them? Okay.
No.
I don't know what they do on these things.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, how do you do? It's Chris from St. Louis, but now calling from Copenhagen.
Oh,
nice.
Excellent.
Welcome.
No, thank you very much. I'm just going through the back catalog here and catching up with your show. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I've got, let's see, I could start with a question maybe. It's hard to get away from anything superhero related, but... I'd like to ask, what actor, serious dramatic actor in a film and also voice actor, Academy Award nominee in the past, the only one I can find who has played a superhero's nemesis, but also the superhero's father?
Oh. So this person played the nemesis in one movie and a different superhero's father in another, or the same superhero?
Same superhero. That's what makes it more interesting.
Oh, no kidding.
No.
What about Terrence Stamp? I don't actually know anything about the new
about
movies.
That. That's a good guess. He was in Superman 3 or something like that. General Zod.
That's the first one, right?
No,
the second.
You know,
oh. The second one? Okay.
No, it's either the first or second. Third one's Richard Pryor.
All right.
Is it Brando?
No, hang on. Oh. We've got to hear more of Kira.
Oh.
Because she walked right into it.
Oh,
it is Terrence Stamp.
Okay,
hooray.
And what's...
So he plays the nemesis, General Zod.
Right.
But then on the small screen, in Smallville, he's playing Jor-El, the voice of Jor-El.
No kidding.
Loving father.
Well, how about that?
Interesting.
Okay.
Well, you know what?
It's interesting that they actually removed his name from the opening credits so as not to throw people who would notice, I guess, off.
So Brando never played Lex Luthor, huh? I thought he did, because he played Jor-El. No?
Yeah, not that we wouldn't
too
put
wild?
It past him,
That's really
I'd like to try and answer, maybe, for the U.S. Novel.
Yes.
Being originally from Missouri myself and having visited his hometown, Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer.
Great guess, but not it. It's a 20th century novel, the answer. So Tom Sawyer's before
okay,
you.
Okay. Excellent. And, sorry, Lifetime Movies, is it descriptive words we're looking for?
Yeah, basically. So, yeah.
What about, I don't know much about it, but it seems to me bad was one. There's always bad this or bad that.
Well, there is, I think there is bad husband, bad babysitter,
yeah,
bad, things
exactly.
like that. But no, it's not bad. No, not that,
all right.
not that one.
Well, thanks a lot. I'll continue working through your back catalog.
Thank you. Appreciate
Excellent.
That. And thanks for calling from such a long distance. Appreciate that.
No worries. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What was I going to ask you? Oh, yes, the USA, it's not To Kill a Mockingbird.
It is. 1960. Very nice.
Oh, so good.
All right. So we're just looking for Ireland.
All right.
What about online? Is that one of the words?
No.
Or computer?
There's... internet did pop up in one or two of the titles, but it's not one of the major ones.
Oh, what about killer?
No. There's a little dancing around that, but
murder, murderer?
Not murder.
Are any of them verbs, like I know or saw or
no.
envisioned or
drunk? That's a really good question.
Yeah. So they're all nouns, right? Or
adjectives.
Yes. Okay.
I would think there'd be one pronoun because her shows up in so many of them.
I think he said he wasn't giving us pronouns.
Yeah, he wasn't, yeah.
I would think you would show up. I don't know, but you did, you know, I saw what you did.
You know what?
I don't like you.
I misspoke earlier, and I said that there was husband would be the only member of a family. There is actually another word that could be seen as a member
lover.
Of a family. No.
Okay. Daughter?
Without... No.
Stepbrother.
No.
Oh, that's good.
Without being a husband or wife.
Or daughter.
Oh, spouse?
No. In other words, it's
couple?
I can't really give too much more away.
Let's see. Spouse, and not lover. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this member of the family would be... usually abducted.
Not daughter.
Or fought over.
The children, child?
The dog, no. no. Yes.
Children, child, son, daughter.
Younger.
Oh, baby.
Baby.
Oh,
yes.
Baby.
Yes.
All right.
I was going to go with Uncle Tanoosh, but that probably isn't right. too specific.
Right. Yes. Baby, may I sleep with danger? Yeah. I think that was my...
So we have two now.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Laurie in the Richmond.
Hi, Laurie.
I've been having another Aaron Burr peanut butter moment because I got disconnected. So I want to try for the Irish novel. Is it Ulysses?
It is. Very,
yeah,
good.
Very good.
1922. Thank you.
Okay, and I knew it wasn't Finnegan's Wake because no one can effing read that. Okay, even the Irish. Let's see.
I have a question for Lori now that she mentioned it. Do you know who directed that commercial that you just brought up? The Aaron Burr commercial?
No.
Michael Bay.
Really?
Who the hell is Michael Bay? Is he a spice?
He's the guy who does all the movies with explosions.
The Transformer movie.
Yeah, before he did Michael Bay. The explosions,
so his
he did that commercial.
Really taken off then.
Yeah. Yeah.
After that genius, he made crap, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. That was a great commercial. But
No, it was. Okay, yeah. So Ember. Okay, but now I've probably made fun of people. All right. I was going to guess, wait. So I had To Kill a Mockingbird, but who cares, really? And the musical guest, I would have liked it for The Simpsons to be Jonathan Richman, but I'm pretty sure that's not the case.
No.
So let's go with Mick Jagger.
Nope.
Okay. Then how about these musical things, the Z song, Zing Went the Strings of My Heart?
You know, such a good guess, but that's not it.
I'm so sad. Okay.
Yeah, me too.
And the Q, there's something called like Quittin' Time, you know, in the crick or something.
Yeah, that's not it either, though.
Okay, and then next time you use the word iron, could you pronounce it like my mother does from Southern Ohio? It's Arn.
Arn? Arn?
Yeah,
Arn.
Yeah, because I'd like to know what you're talking about. Okay, then, wait a minute, I'm almost... Oh, horribly, is it the Harry Potter stuff that... Oh, wait, somebody already got that.
All right, was Alice in Wonderland.
Yes, okay, good for them. I try to keep track. Oh, and the confection, is it like a honey drop or something?
No. It's a good guess, but no.
Well, this has not been very satisfying. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom, still not in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Let's see. I got some guesses for the last. Did you get the I don't hate it last line?
No.
No.
Is that Catcher in the Rye?
No. That's a good guess. No.
How about laying out that her brush? Was that the is that Madame Bovary?
No.
Shoot. Lifetime. How about Hidden?
That's a really movie. Good guess. You know that, but it's not. It's not. That's
or
not one of them.
Secret.
Ooh.
No. But
no?
you're on the right track.
Lie.
You're absolutely.
How about,
on the right
how about
track.
Lie?
Lies.
All right. Thank you for the hint.
Lies.
Yeah.
Okay. Danger?
No.
Lost?
No.
Obsequious?
No.
Let's see. Have I got my bell yet? I have not. The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's Turkish Delight.
It is Turkish Delight.
Oh, good job.
Absolutely correct.
That,
there's your bell.
Stuffs his face with. Yay, I got one. I took a wild guess on the first guest star of the musical. Is it Philip Glass?
Well, that'd be wild.
For
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
For the first Simpsons.
But no, not Philip Glass.
No, okay. For the Ain't. How about some? Did you get all the Ain't songs?
No,
you didn't yet.
Not yet. Three more.
Ain't Misbehaving?
That is one. The Fats Waller version. Yeah, that's the earliest one. 29.
About, I'm not sure if it's the name. The Just a Gigolo, Ain't Got Nobody.
No.
Louis Prima?
Yeah, no, I know the song, but he...
It's I Ain't Got Nobody, actually.
Yeah, I think it is I Ain't Got Nobody.
Good point.
I Ain't Got Nobody, yeah.
Oh, I Ain't Got Nothing Else. Thank you.
All right. Very good.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Roland from Bernal Heights.
Hi, Roland.
Hi, I just had a couple of guesses. The last lines, one of them was something like Born Away... By the way,
yes.
That's the last line of Frankenstein.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
thank you for
you
putting them
much.
Out of their misery.
And then the other one, the door closed and the ring of steel,
yes.
Is that Conan the Barbarian?
I like that, though.
No, this novel's a little higher brow.
Well,
impossible.
I can't imagine anything higher brow.
I agree with you, Roland. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's all I got.
All right, thanks,
that was
Roland.
Sort of the song of Roland.
Yeah,
which
we were talking
before.
About his song earlier.
Yeah. What about Desire? Did somebody already say that?
No, but no.
Okay.
How about Want? No, but you said not verbs.
Yeah.
But did Tom guess hidden?
Not hidden.
He said secret, and I guess
what about,
lie.
What about hidden?
No.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Hal in Fremont.
Hi, Hal.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So about the Simpsons question, I'm pretty sure it's Tony Bennett.
You're absolutely right. It is Tony Bennett.
No, yes. Another my Tony Bennett credit.
Yes.
My grandfather's a big fan, so if I got that wrong, he'd kill me.
Oh, I wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
No, neither.
Very nice.
But that's all I got.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for your show. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Time to clean up. What do we got? Kira?
On that Z song, is it Zippity Doodah?
It is.
From Song of the South?
It is.
I have no artist beyond Song of the South.
And it was Johnny Mercer's version, which I thought was odd. He didn't write it. He had a hit version, and then he was accused of writing the song. Apparently spent a lot of time saying, I didn't write it. He recorded it, which I didn't know. Very nice.
And then Home, Christmas, or Holiday are my last guests on the...
Christmas is one.
Okay.
Christmas is
one. Oh, then Thanksgiving?
No.
Okay.
Only Holiday, Christmas.
Okay. In that case, yes, she thought, laying down her brush in extreme fatigue, I have had my vision, is To the Lighthouse. I Don't Hate It is Absalom.
Oh.
And He Heard the Ring of Steel Against Steel as a far door clanged shut was Native Son.
Very good.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense. All right, good job.
I have the Q letter was K Sera Sera, believe it or not, for in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And the two ain'ts that we're missing are Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens, the
Louis Jordan.
Song. Yeah. And Ain't No Sunshine by Bill Withers. That's it for me.
All right. Let's see. What do I have left here? The most common descriptive words in the Lifetime movie titles. Stranger.
Oh!
Nobody got Stranger.
No.
Deadly.
Oh.
The Deadly Babysitter.
Deadly Stranger.
Yeah, the Deadly Stranger
deadly
who seduced my husband. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The Perfect Babysitter who seduced my husband.
On Christmas
Baby.
Day.
Baby.
We got Baby.
All right. Lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seduced or Seduction, I would have taken either one. Christmas, where my husband was seduced by the babysitter. And Husband. Yes.
Ooh.
Anyway, if we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We do hope you enjoy the show. We certainly enjoy doing it for you. Our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Steve Wilcott and David Latuli for handling the board and phones. And above all, as I said before, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We appreciate it a lot. And please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye. If it ain't Bean, it's Frank. It's got to be this or that.